Welcome to the Draft Doctors Fantasy Footy Podcast with your hosts, John Crockett, Steve Fizz, and the Statesman.
G'day, everybody, and welcome to the Draft Doctors. I'm John Crockett, and today we are talking JLT Round 2. So that means we're right in the thick of our drafts and heading into Round 1, where all the action starts. And as always, is Stevie Fizz. How you doing, pal?
I'm still recovering from all the hot fire that was spat out on Monday night on the Best and Fairest show, but thank God I had the week off before. I don't get many holidays, and I went down to Seaspray, the beautiful town of Seaspray down in Gippsland, and I've got a strempling. A strempling did arise from it, and it's aimed at Mrs. Fizz, because we went out to the surf club for dinner, and we're on a bit of a budget. Everyone knows I'm poor. We take our child to the pet shop and call it the zoo, but they had an expensive dish there, the seafood spaghetti, and it sounded fantastic, sounded delicious. It had the blue swimmer crab, it had the mussels and calamari. It just sounded delicious, but it was $32, and I thought, I'm not spending $32 on the pasta dish for starters, but anyway, and I explained that to Mrs. Fizz, so when she turned around and ordered the seafood spaghetti, was none too impressed. And then was not even more impressed when the dish came out and she looked at it and said, I'm not eating it. Because the crab was a whole crab just sitting on top of the spaghetti, and all the mussels were in the mussels. And she had to pull them out of the shells. And she, how do I crack open a shell? So, it worked out for me in the end because I got to eat the crab. But I was not impressed with the 30. I'm just get a Palmer. It's $20 or something. But,
that's it.
What a great place to rip down skewies on a warm summer's day. The Seaspray Surf Lifesaving Club, or whatever the heck it was called.
G'day to everyone there at Seaspray. welcome to you, Statesman.
Gentlemen, I'm just so glad this pre-season stuff is done, because my rankings, my thoughts, all the data that I've collected has just confused this small little Tasmanian brain of mine. I must admit, it's just almost overwhelming. Who's playing what role? Who's in form? Because Jack Redden just kills at game one and then shocking game two. It's just so hard to read. And I know we're going to sit there after six rounds and go, this was so obvious. But I don't know what's obvious anymore, other than a few of the absolute stars that are killing it.
Yeah, look, Steve's went away for the week. I went away for the weekend. I don't know what the hell happened. I leave you guys in charge. I come back. Dangerfield's done a hammy, dislocated shoulders for Hanley. I mean, what the hell is going on, people?
Crazy times, Jono, crazy times. Although Hanley brought that on himself, idiot. Sliding into the fence in a goddamn practice match. What the hell are you thinking?
Got to lock down that spot in the 22.
Oh, my God.
Impress the new coach.
He was playing well, too.
Speaking of injuries, there was quite a few over the weekend. As I just mentioned, Danger has done the hammy. We'll probably miss round one. Be interesting. He's still going to be a top pick, even if he does miss round one. It's not going to affect it too much. Pierce Hanley, dislocated shoulder. There was a bit of interest, especially for myself, with Pierce Hanley this year. Could have been that late round pickup, who we know can score quite well. Jack Stephen rolled his ankle late in the third quarter on Thursday night, but he'll be fine for round one. It was just a light roll. Didn't play the fourth quarter just as a precaution. Didn't see this one, but Scotty Pendlebury rolled an ankle quite early on in the match, but he seemed to be okay again. Just wait for the real stuff to start. Jasper Pittard, Twang Dehamy. He'd been going pretty well himself, so waiting on the reports on that one still to see how he turns out, if it's just a minor twang or going to miss a couple of weeks. Driving back from Gippsland myself, that's where I was, Steve. I heard Matty Cruiser rolled an ankle in the first quarter and didn't play out the rest of the game, and people in Talkback Radio were going up in arms that he didn't play because of a rolled ankle.
When someone gets injured at the first minutes of a JLT game, you sit them on the bench and start the recovery as soon as possible. What are you talking about? Carlton won the game anyway, so obviously Cruz is not that big of a deal, so let's just press on.
David Zaharakis also had an ankle injury there in the third quarter. Just again, this is all JLT stuff, so nothing to get too crazy about. One that we don't like to see players get injured, but this one warmed the cockles of my heart a little bit. Reece Stanley done the quad, so hello Zach Smith, late round pickup. We've been talking about it all preseason, so we do know how well he does score when Stanley is out of that team. So we do hope Reece does have a speedy recovery, but not too speedy. And Jack Martin came off the ground with a bit of hammy tightness, so a bit of a precaution for him, as we hope he plays round one and scores us quite well. And if you want to follow us on social media, you can do that by checking us out on Twitter, where we are at The Draft Doctors, at Statesman33. We have the Facebook page, search The Draft Doctors there. And we've got the websites, thedraftdoctors.com.au, and the mock drafts site as well. Been going gangbusters. This will be pretty much the last weekend, right up until you use it, as we will be going to round one Thursday week. So check out mock.thedraftdoctors.com.au.
Just on drafts, Jono, we've got our own league draft coming up on Sunday. I can't wait. It's going to be a ripping day as always. Your one pick in front of me, who's in play?
Well, it's an interesting one. Knowing what's in front of me, if Dangerfield doesn't go one, he's probably go at two or three anyway. But I've got Lucky Neal, Rory Laird as a Smoky, Fife, those sorts of guys. Matt Crouch even. Those are probably the three to four picks that I've been looking at using as my first pick. And using the mock draft site just to see what sort of strategies I can play out.
Yeah, I've had a play around with it myself, and I've had a look at some teams using Max Gawn as my first pick, Jono. And
interesting.
Not a big fan of drafting the rucks early, as everyone knows, but gotta like Max in the Supercoach format, don't you? And I've been too upset with the teams I've been getting.
Yeah, I've been playing with the rucks around that 5, 6, 7 round just to see what it turns out to be, but still get a pretty good team on both sides. But the first game was Richmond taking on North Melbourne. It was good for about a quarter and a half, I'd say, before North Melbourne were done. There is no fantasy relevance whatsoever for them at all. They're going to tire out and get spanked in a lot of games, but someone who has a big tank, that is Nank. He is looking good. Gets a full preseason under his belt again. Up against Goldie and Proust, beat them convincingly, even though they both played about the 40% mark. We know Nate doesn't get the tap outs, but he does get around the ground, takes the marks, kicks a few goals as well. So I've got Nank ranked 8 in Supercoach and 9 in the Ultimate Footy and AFL Fantasy format. So I'm really liking him, especially using the mock side. I've been getting him in the round 13, 14, even 15 in some of the drafts I've been doing. So if I can get him there and he returns an average of 95+, I'll be happy as. Your thoughts on Josh Caddy? I cannot warm to him whatsoever. We've seen it last year. He was killing it, playing in the midfield, racking up the points, come round one and just spud scores. So I'm very wary of Josh Caddy. If I can pick him up later in my draft and take a fly on him, I'll be happy to do that. But I'm not spending an early pick on him just from JLT form.
Yeah, no one's spending an early pick on Josh Caddy if we're being realistic about it. But if he was your F4, you could take a chance on him. I've got no problems with it.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Yeah. Another one who could be that value pick, and it pains me to say it, it's Nick Vlosten. He seems to be developing a pretty, not a high fantasy scoring, but a nice solid base of an 80 average, 85 average scoring, which would be good for a D3, D4 even at the back end of your draft, because not many people are looking at him. So you're certainly going to be able to pick him up, and if he can just produce 85s each week, that's something I'd be very happy to get. One thing I did notice about North Melbourne, Marley Williams was playing that running defender out of defence, and he was just racking up the pill, using his pace to run the ball out of defence, and they're looking to get him every time. He had the 20-odd disposals, and in the Supercoach scoring, if you start the chain and it ends up in a goal. It's worth more points as well. So Marley Williams could be that Johannesson, Rory-led running back defender for the North Melbourne. He just needs to stay fit. But he's not on anyone's board, so take a fly on him. And Brad Scott, whew, if he's going to be playing Bruce and Goldie at the same time and one than the other, if I'm getting them, I want to be handcuffing him because who the hell knows what the hell Brad Scott's doing in that team.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. Marley's been a good intercept defender, but without McDonald in that side, someone had to kick the ball out the 1,000 times it went in the forward or the back half. I'm with you on Nank. I kind of like Nank. If he was my ruckman in Supercoach, I'd rather him than Brody Grundy. I'll put it that way. We're getting him a hell of a lot later.
Exactly. And right.
What was McDonald doing? Was he out having a beer?
Yeah, just he didn't play that much. Just resting him for the real stuff because he was so tired from AFLX.
I know his foot wasn't sore after the first match.
The next game on the Thursday night, it was the Demons taking on the Saints. I did put out the tweet, I am off the Dylan Robinson train and moving into the Shane Savage camp. He's the go-to guy out of that defence. He's got the booming kick. He racks up the possessions, takes the marks. I've got him ranked 26 in Supercoach, 19 AFL Fantasy, and 23 in Ultimate Footy. He is the go-to man in that defence. Dylan Robinson was solid, playing as a plus one again. It's a very flaky role for me. Sometimes you can go high, sometimes you'll see the ball nothing playing loose in defence. Certainly gone cold on Dylan Robinson. Christian Petrarca, he's looking ready to explode. His mid-time forward split was sensational. He's got the big body. Imagine him and Jesse Hogan running at you. You just put the ball on the ground, run the other way, because you don't want them to running at you. I'm liking it. He's in the 20s, right on that 20 in my ranks as an F2. We're quite happy to have Petrarca this year as my F2. Jack Stephen. He is back, baby. Certainly undervalued, underranked as well, but shooting up the draft boards, I think, in a lot of people's drafts. I've got him ranked in the 40s currently. That will certainly change before the final rankings come out for round one.
Was he injured late?
About the middle to late of the third quarter, and he just rolled it. So they took him straight off and put the ice straight away, but he's come out and said that he'll play round one, so... Certainly locking. I'll be locking him as an M3 for me. Much safer pick for me. Doesn't have a lot of injury history. Yes, he had that hamstring tendonitis, but he's well and truly over that. And he is going to be that one constant in that midfield, taking the centre bounces.
I'm with you on Jack Stephen, and I think he's undervalued, and I've got laughed at for picking him up in a draft. One thing we know about the JLT... not many tags get thrown around in the JLT. And if there was a player who didn't enjoy a tag, it's one Jack Stephen.
I think they've got a lot of bigger body midfielders now to help him out and maybe avoid that tag this year. So in years gone by, yes, I'd be more concerned about it, but I'm not too concerned about it this year. Bernie Vince.
Might go to Shane Savage, gentlemen.
Yeah, I have thought about that. No, I have thought about it.
Go, Robinson.
Well, get them both and lock them in.
I wonder if the listeners can hear me shaking my head.
Bernie Vince, for me, he is fool's gold. Has scored particularly well in both the JLTs, but that's a lot of personnel out in that team. I mean, he has played some midfield minutes, but you've got Jack Viney, Jordan Lewis coming back into that team as well. Is Jordan Lewis going to be spending time in defence or the midfield, or both of them going to be rotating through defence and midfield? We saw last year he didn't score particularly well playing in the defence. I'm still cooling on Bernie Vince, and I do have him ranked accordingly, 63 in Supercoach and the mid to late 40s in AFL Fantasy and Ultimate Footy.
And, of course, you don't know how the injuries are going to pan out throughout the year. So, obviously, your squad mix-up can change depending on who gets injured and what's replaced. But I've just got this funny feeling with Vince and Lewis that they're just going to be less and less important to this squad as it continues to develop, and the squad's looking good. So, I mean, I don't know if they're the type that just get dropped or balanced or rested throughout the year that takes away from their value.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. They've certainly got a few options there. The big question, we've gotten it a lot over social media, and quite frankly, I don't have the answer, but what to make of the Jack Steele, David Armitage, Luke Dunstan triumvirate of doom? I've just got no idea. We've seen the game time went Steele's way this week.
But that's because Jack Stephen went off for a quarter and a half, so...
Is it a stay away? Is it draft the last one, which is probably going to be Armitage?
I'm avoiding completely because you just don't know. Like, I think it's going to be a rotating threesome. Basically, each week they're going to have their time, and one week they won't. So
rotating threesome,
I'm not liking it at all.
Not something you want to be talking about with your football mates. I will say that. Look, if you're going to make a decision at the end of the day, the one that misses out is Armitage because he's not the future. But it depends on the form currently right now whilst they're in the hunt.
But Armitage has more... What am I trying to say? He can play forward or defence. He's got more strings to his bow than a Jack Steele who's inside mid. So who knows what old crazy Richo's going to do. And my last point is Maxi Gawn. Lock him in. He's going to be killing it. He's going to be the top Supercoach ruckman this year. He's going to kill everyone, so lock him in.
Where do you draft him, Jono? Realistically.
I'd be tempted him to go round five. If I've got me two mids...
Round five?
People go higher, but that's where I want him, okay. Which I won't get him. Yeah. Oof. That's okay. Where I'm starting to look at a ruck, but people are going to be hotter than him than I am, and probably go round two, I reckon.
Yeah. Oh, we're seeing him go in round one, even in Dream Team format.
There you go.
Bit pricey for you, though.
Very pricey for me.
Oh, okay.
And moving on to the next game, it was the Crows. It was the Swans taking on GWS.
Yes, and my takeouts were Lukey Parker is in sensational form. With the others underdone, he'll also lead that midfield. And, of course, we know that when he rests forward. This boy is back to his best. No slow starts this season. Lockie Whitfield is loving the JLT freedom and new role. Maybe some more attention coming, but you would think that Sheil and Kelly would be the targets for a tag ahead of Lockie Whitfield. So he could have a pretty good scoring year. We know he's a highly talented player. He's obviously always going to be, because of that sort of outside ability, he's always going to be a better AFL fantasy scorer than Supercoach. But if he does retain that defensive, the intercept marks come in, and then all of a sudden he's going to get quite high Supercoach scores. The next is Buddy is looking good, gents. 31 years of age, I'm normally worn off him, but he is looking very good, and we know he can score well. So if you've drafted him, just enjoy. Looks like it's going to be a great ride this year. We may have been disappointed in his second year, but Callum Mills is going to break out in his third season. I think it's going to be a modest breakout, to be honest, but I think the breakout will be an 80 to mid-80s average, and I think that is quite promising for a D3, but you'll probably be able to draft him at D4 or D5 in a one-season league. So he's going to be great value. And gentlemen, I know I was a bit hot on him last year, but Deeds does not look like it. Are the days really over?
No, he doesn't. I've just got a note written to Ledio, don't do it.
He's in the Ryan Griffin pile. Do not draft.
I think so.
I got a couple of notes. Just thought, streaming defenders against GWS looks like still being a thing, gentlemen. We saw Newman racked up a monster score. Fox, Lloyd, Mills, all these guys scored particularly well. I still think the streaming defenders against GWS is a bit of a winner. And just on Whitfield... GWS really weren't a high marks team last year. They only averaged 89 per game. In both of the JLT matches, they've topped 100. I know it's a small sample size, but these are shortened games, let's remember. So an outside player like Whitfield could absolutely explode with this if they've worked on their ball movement and change their patterns.
I didn't see this game, but what was Sydney's ruck setup like?
It was Darcy Cameron, basically.
Fairly non-existent.
Okay. Dean
Yep.
Yeah, okay. It got smashed and Dean Towers pinch hit. Is that right?
Okay. Yep.
I was looking for Reed to pinch hit, but it didn't happen. I sort of wrote an article that one of those two could get a bump, but I mean, they got blasted. It was Dawson Simpson just destroyed them. So
I have got a question, gentlemen, and I did write an article about it as well. But is Newman fool's gold?
There's some upside there for sure, but
the big problem is in your ultimate footy where he's listed as a defender, because he's only a midfielder in AFL Fantasy and Supercoach. So I think you're going to be drafting him quite late, and if it sort of works out, that's fine. You've got a good value. If it doesn't, you throw him back. But he can score when he's on the park. You know that much.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm just remembering Tom Mitchell. So I think the end of the article is be prepared for good scoring between 16 and 18 games.
Yeah. That's not the end of the world. If you're getting him in what is a D2, fringy D2, D3, that's fine because you can replace those games pretty easily. But there's certainly tons to be had when he's on the park.
Absolutely. The next game was the Pies taking on the Western Bulldogs.
If you wanted to talk about fool's gold, let's talk about Jackson Trengove's ton. Jordan Roughead went down quite early and Trengove was in the ruck the whole day. And we've seen him score well as the solo ruck in the past, but I seriously doubt that that's what Bevo does, even though he is a bit of a madman. But I think he will. I think you're right, Jono. He will spend a lot of time in the ruck. Just game circumstance forced him to ruck a whole lot more than he normally would.
Yeah.
Jason Johannesson, out of the back line, onto the wing, a bit of forward time. Does he get less attention in this role?
I think so. If he's floating around between a defence wing and forward, then it's going to be pretty hard to lock down on him.
So he's an interesting one. I've still got him in the D3 range, but and he'll have his games where he's up and down, but that's fine. Adam Treloar, absolute beast. I think we were all still pretty hot on Adam Treloar this year. I think the bad season was overrated, but 20 contested possessions, 13 clearances and 14 tackles in a JLT match. My goodness. I think it was more of an outlier that the Dream Team scoring had so many players turn up, although we know the scoring was up across the board.
Did I read right that he attended something like 24 centre bounces?
Yeah, he was just the man in the middle. He was all over it. So I certainly love Adam Treloar and have been pretty hot on him this year. And I think you'll get him at a... Like, he was a top five pick everywhere last year. He's not going to be that this year. So jump on Adam Treloar and ride that value. Mason Cox isn't kicking four snags and 19 hit-outs every week. But he ain't going anywhere either. Okay, he is not going out of that team. So Brody Grundy, he slides for me in Dream Team, and he's just dead to me in Supercoach. I will not own him in any Supercoach draft leagues this year. Forget about it. Absolute waste of a pick. And Lipper.
He's back.
Look pretty good. If he's your M6, you're probably doing pretty well.
You would think so. Had a pretty good JLT series. Any thoughts from you, Statesman?
No, I just got a question about the Western Bulldogs. Who is their ruckman? Because effectively they've got five that can play that role.
I've said it'll be Ruffy and Trengove rotating each week, but we haven't seen much of Shacky. We haven't seen Tom Boyd all pre-season.
What about Tom Campbell?
Come round one, Tom Campbell as well. He's not injured, so maybe he's just out of favour.
And Tim English.
As you know, still developing, I think.
It's just very concerning when you're looking at, you're going, well, you've got 18 clubs to pick from, and if you're in a 16-league draft, and we know there's a couple of sides that you probably look at to say, well, they don't really have anyone. So Sydney is Callum Sinclair, but he's got an ankle at the moment. So Darcy Cameron's not a person that's going to get you good scoring. He's okay in salary cap because he's a rookie. He's going to make you a little bit of money, and that's about it. But Western Bulldogs, you think just be nice to know or have a clear understanding if they've got one.
Well, Tom Campbell's a one-trick pony. He's just a ruckman. That's it. Can't really go forward, kick goals and that. Whereas you've got Trengove, who can go forward, back, and ruck, and Ruffy as well, who plays that key defence post and can ruck as well. And they're both pretty mobile, and that's what Bevo likes in that team, to be pretty mobile. The next game is Port Adelaide and Adelaide. Not too much to write home about the Crows. They were resting a lot of their midfielders only playing 65 to 75% of the match. So take it as you will. They'll be right round one, the big guns in Gibbs, Sloan and Matty Crouch. Statesman, you talked up Jack Watts at the start of the year. He went out and kicked six big ones against the Crows. The Crows, a bit light in defence, but hey, if you can get Jack Watts as that F4, F5, and he won't kick six goals each week, but if he's pushing up the ground like he was, you'd be pretty happy.
The only
with
downside
that.
Of that game was the score he got after six goals. If a player like that gets six goals, you're hoping he's got a massive ton on his hands. And that was the only bad side about that game.
Yeah, that's right. Only 103 there in the fantasy. Well, you know he doesn't tackle, so that's part of his problem there. The Chad, only the 44% game time, but his points per minute was pretty good. Excuse me. With a 66 and a 49 in Supercoach. Donuts Motlop. There is just nothing to like about him whatsoever. I don't know what's going to go on with him, so I don't want any part of him in any format at all. Dan Houston, he's an interesting one for keepers. He's up there with Riley Bonner, Hartlett, Pittard and all that, but he's been a solid performer building into that team. Points per minute were pretty good, 78% time on ground for an 85 in Dream Team and 79 in Supercoach. But I'm not too worried about the Crows players at all. They didn't score too well. Again, they're just there for a kick and get through unscathed for round one.
Do we just underrate Justin Westhoff every single year?
Yep.
He he doesn't let you down, does he?
Hardly misses, runs around.
Yeah. I was a bit worried about him this year, but I don't know. Maybe he'll benefit. No attention. Knows where to be.
Was he 33? He'd be that. It's like when they get to their 30s, they just play like Richo and Riewoldt. It's just go play football, do what you want, and they just score well fantasy wise.
Yeah. It's not a sexy pick, but he just scores, doesn't he?
He certainly does. Certainly does.
I mean, look at this. You know, if your forward line was Buddy, Boak or Roughhead and Justin Westhoff, they're probably not going to let you down, but. Not sexy picks at all. Like, if you wanted to have Buddy as your number one forward, I wouldn't argue too much with you. He's looked awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm loving Buddy. I think I've got him in the top five, so pretty happy with him right there. The next game was the Hawks taking on the Blues.
It was really interesting game. Hawthorn really dominated the first half. They were just absolutely wasteful, and they should have put Carlton away. But the Carlton ball movement, to me, was a big worry. And I wanted to talk about Charlie Kurnow because I know a lot of people have been on him. One of my positions this preseason has been not just now. I really like the guy. I think he's a very exciting player. But to me, if he plays as a forward, the ball doesn't get down there very well or often enough. So I don't think his score is going to be great. And in the midfield, he just get caught and he was a little bit lost. And I don't know that how he builds his score. Like, if he's in the midfield and he gets, he might need to get 23 possessions to be worthwhile, but he need to lay five or six tackles. I just don't know that that's going to happen because he's not going to get on the outside. So, love watching him play. I think the world's his oyster, but I'm just concerned that it's not this year.
And he could be a player that has greater impact for the team, so a better quality player than actually an AFL fantasy star.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, we see that all the time. So, but let's talk about the good Kerno, and that is Ed.
Oh, boy.
Okay, fine. Look, he's just a draft sleeper. He's just a good sleeper. He scored you the 80 dream team, 64% game time. You know he's going to play. You know he scores when he plays. I kind of like him. He's a bit hidden because of what happened last year. Jarman Impey played really well, doing damage all around the ground, listed as a forward. If you wanted to take him with one of your later picks, I wouldn't have a big problem because, you know, he looked to have a bit of speed. I think they need some bodies in the midfield who do something a little bit different. I really liked it. Jack Gunston, he was forward and back. I know he had a pretty nice Supercoach score. He still had a good Dream Team score. And Clarko did say after the game, he'll play where he's required, which I guess at least puts him in the vicinity of the ball. So if they're getting beat, he'll shift back. If they're going all right, he'll go forward. So I don't know. If you have Jack Gunston, you might want him to be bad where he can score well behind the ball. And a player who is behind the ball for Hawthorn, who I'm concerned about, did get game flowed right out of this game, and that's Ryan Burton. It's he's someone everyone seems to like because he sort of came out of nowhere, and a lot of coaches, you know, in the fantasy community jumped on. But you can't be thrilled with the scores he's put out there.
Maybe I'm hoping it's JLT and let's teach him how to be more defensive on a player, but then let him loose when the real points are up. It could be just the educational phase.
That's completely possible.
I hope.
But...
And the return of a few defenders might push him out of that that role. Who knows?
Well, they were playing 8-man defense a lot of the time last year, Hawthorn. So I don't know. Maybe there's just... He needs to be a bit more defensive. I'm not sure, but I'm a little bit concerned of the scores. This week, absolutely just game flowed out of it. I'm not blown away. Just he's not off on the don't draft list yet, I'll put it that way, but he'll need to fall to the right value.
Now,
Sean Burgoyne, back on your draft list.
When was he off?
I've got Burton in a keeper, and of course he was one of my 12. And if you look at the rankings and the data, he's quite impressive what he's done in real football at this stage. But when drafting today, I made sure I had a few extra in defence just in case that role continues and it's an education phase and he becomes a much more defensive player. But if you've ever seen him play, he uses the ball quite well. So I think they want the ball in his hand. So I'm hoping that it was an education phase, but I've drafted to have backup for him.
Yeah, look, he's obviously a wonderful player. It's a bit of a worry for redrafters, though, I'll put it that way.
Yeah, definitely. Yep. And the first game's on the Sunday afternoon. It was the Cats taking on the Bombers up in Colac.
Yeah, well, I've been through Colac, and it was great to be on the other side of it. And the first thing I want to talk about is something that was hot in Colac, and that was, of course, Mitch Duncan. What a jet. And Moreira's Magic spoke about it on the Best and Fairest show, and he continues to light up that form. But Joel Selwood, I think he's a jet. I think he's fantastic value this year. Going in round three, forget about it. The injury score hides him a little bit. What a great pickup he is.
Eight free kicks, four. Shit.
Okay. Yeah, there was a lot of free kicks for the Cats. That was probably one of the main takeaways. Umpires love the Cats. Brennan Goddard, you'd have to say he's a big chance to get defensive status this year if the JLT games are any indication. Spending a lot of time off halfback there. I don't draft for DPP changes because it's just such a risky move and we're not as smart as we think we are, as we always say. But if you, because of where Brennan Goddard falls in drafts, where he's amongst a lot of maybe you'd say similar types, like maybe Trent Cotchin and David Zaharakis and guys you might think average exactly the same, maybe that's a little bit of a tiebreaker for you. But I certainly wouldn't draft with it in mind. But it can happen. The lunch meet, Devon Smith, midfield, get him, go. The only question is he a top-tier forward? Would you tier him with your buddies?
Moving on to the second last game, it was the Gold Coast Suns taking on to the Brisbane Lions. Far away, Statesman.
Yeah, speaking about Hodgie, he played this game in front of a huge crowd with great weather. First takeout, his Gold Coast look like a new team. There's more pressure, there's more tackles, and a lot more scoring, gentlemen. Second thing is Hanley and Martin injured, and both would have been mid-range for their position, so mid-tiers. So could leave a hole for some of the coaches there, especially for the first few weeks and maybe months for the Hanley owners. So that's a bit of a concern there. Gold Coast mids look to share the load, but still quite solid scoring. So my gut feel at the moment, again, it is just the JLT. Maybe they were having a look at everyone, but I think they're just going to have a continual rotation of players. And if you look at the Sydney model, which is where the coach come from, that's what they do have, the strong rotation of players, and have some of those midfielders resting forward. So you can probably see the Aaron Halls of this world spending a bit of time deep forward when they're resting from the midfield. But they all scored reasonably well, but I think you're going to find they're going to have four or five mid-range scoring midfielders in that club. That's what it looks like at the moment. Zorko keeps on scoring well, but attention will come, gentlemen. He's going to be that strong target for them. There's no doubt about it. And last but not least, if Steph is left alone to do his task and his job, he'll be one of the leading ruckmen again this year.
Yeah, he's certainly flown right under the radar in terms of draft and even redraft. Just no one's talking about him. So we're all worried about the Archie Smith conundrum, but not even on the radar. So grab Steph Martin. He'll score you well. And the last game of the round, it was Freo taking on a depleted West Coast.
Yeah, over in the West, that would have been good for Archie going up the highway to watch a game of footy. And first off, gentlemen, if your name is Lockie. second, how bad are West Coast travelling? Or are they just keeping us guessing here, gents?
I think guessing.
Tabernar. Real or not, he's done this a couple of times now, including JLT1, where he scored well against Adelaide. He's also turned up in the real stuff a couple of times before. With the right matchup, I think this gentleman could be a good loophole bench option for us.
Yep, absolutely. It's either going to be him or McCarthy that stood up to take that Pav role. And when you've got Walters, Fife, Neil, Blakely serving it up to him, laces out, then you could put myself or Steve in that forward line. We're still going to be taking all those marks and kicking goals. So he could be a very late pickup and be a good scorer for you this year.
He does reek of one of those players that if you have him on the field, he gives you 30. You delist him and the next week he turns up for you. He's just got that feel about him.
Yeah.
Redden and Sheed. I just wrote, what the? Plenty of time in the midfield this weekend, but neither could get a decent score with 84% and 76% game time each. That was very concerning for players that probably would have gone right up the draft board. So we just forgive West Coast for this and forget the day and move on?
No, they've had two pretty rank JLT games, so this could, and no JJK for however long. Who's going to be that tall target up forward? Will it be Lysette moving to the forward line when Nick Nat comes in? Who knows?
Yeah, so no full forward. Obviously a loss of very experienced midfielders. A bit of a ruck concern. It's going to test their depth.
Absolutely. So question marks all about the West Coast team for me this year.
Yeah, absolutely. And the way I'm looking at this club right now, I see him as a salary cap club, not a draft club.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And last but not least for this game, gentlemen, is Sandy's in form. And if he can remain fit, this could be a fitting farewell for the big fella. But I will say again, if he can stay fit.
Well, that wraps up the show for this week. Thank you very much for listening. If you want to follow us on social media, you can do that by checking us out on Twitter, where we are at The Draft Doctors and at Statesman33. Check out the Facebook page, the search Draft Doctors there, and check out the website, thedraftdoctors.com.au, and the mock site, mock.thedraftdoctors.com.au. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Draft Doctors Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review.